Thanks for tuning in. This is the Building the Movie List podcast, where we go through IMDb's top 250 movies and try and whittle it down to our top 100. This week, we're doing In the Name of the Father, and I'm joined by Carter McGowan.
Hey.
And Matthew Molina.
Oh, you're doing your wicked pisser.
And I'm not going to try and do another accent.
Yeah, I shouldn't have tried either.
I'm your host, Evan. And this is In the Name of the Father, Daniel Day-Lewis film. Not as known as some of his more recent movies, but it comes in at number 187. And,
it's real high up there.
Yes.
It's real high. It's directed by Jim Sheridan, who also directed My Left Foot and Boxer, two other early Daniel Day-Lewis movies.
That I haven't seen.
No, you haven't seen, seen My Left Foot?
No.
Yeah, I saw My Left Foot, but I don't remember it.
Okay.
That's, I think he won Best Actor.
He did. And he was nominated for this movie, right?
He was nominated. This movie was nominated for a lot of awards.
Yeah, that was a lot.
It's nominated for 7 Oscars. No wins.
Surprising.
Okay. I mean, Schindler's List.
I mean, this was the this
yeah,
was
okay. Schindler's well,
list.
Yeah,
this is the year of Schindler's List. So, didn't really have a chance.
Hopefully, that's also on the top 250 movies.
Oh yeah, it's like it's like number 10 or something. Oh, it's like super high. But let me just read the IMDb summary for this movie, just so people know vaguely what it's about. It's a man's coerced confession to an IRA bombing he did not commit results in the imprisonment of his father and himself, his father is an English lawyer who fights to set him free. This is not very well written. Sorry.
Are you talking about the movie? Or?
No. Well,
it's about an Irish guy who was forced to sign a confession for a bombing of a pub, and then his father and him went to prison. Yeah. It's basically the gist of it. It's a true story.
Based off of Jerry Conlon's autobiography, Proved Innocent.
I hadn't seen this before, and I watched the trailer, the 90s trailer about it first.
Nice.
It seemed like it was going to be a lot more fun than it was.
Was there a lot of scenes from the beginning of the movie?
There was,
everyone was having a good time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it was the 70s. You know, a lot of Daniel Day-Lewis screaming. Like, it has a little bit from each of his Oscar moments.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing here, da? Conspiracy to murder. And it seemed like it was going to be a little bit more goofy than it was.
It's not very goofy.
No.
It's not very, I don't know. It's kind of goofy seeing Daniel Day-Lewis try and be a young 20-year-old.
Is he supposed to be 20 years old?
I don't know. He's supposed to be really young.
Yeah, he was. I actually didn't look up what his age was at the time.
I didn't look it up either. But he's supposed.
I want to say he was within the range.
The girl was 19. You think so? I remember she was supposed to be 19. That was also sentenced one of the four.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, they've spent 15 years in prison. So
I'm assuming he's supposed to be in his 20s.
Yeah, he doesn't age the amount that you would think for the amount of time that they're supposed to be in prison.
Yeah.
No, that was not clear.
The passage of time was not clear at all until somebody offhand remarked, like, I've been in here 5 years.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, I thought it was like a crazy 2 weeks.
I don't know. Yeah, we don't really. I feel like there's not really, like, a good transformation of him, really. Like, I think it's supposed to be him buying into his father's message of, like, nonviolence and...
Yeah, but that happens in, like, 2 seconds. There's it's like, oh no, that guy got set on fire, now I am all of a sudden, like, turned around.
Yeah, I felt like his reaction to that kind of came out of nowhere. Before that, it seemed like he would be down with that, like, system.
Building up with that, like, hardcore, like, IRA, like, general guy.
Yeah, the guy.
And he's like,
I'm
down for, like, messing stuff up and, like, getting, you know, deep in the weeds. And then he's like, oh, wait, whoa.
While his father was a wholesome bookie, he was a wholesome bookie who was campaigning and praying to Jesus, doing everything right. Whereas, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis was the one off on his crazy terrorist adventures. But, you know, then he kind of realized, oh, no, I'm doing wrong because we set this guy on fire. And he has kids because we found out that he had kids just before he got set on fire.
Right before he got set on fire. It was like,
Is that
exactly why? Yeah.
That's why, like, he was like, no, this is too far.
Well, yeah. Did Daniel Day-Lewis even hear that he had kids?
No, he was just talking with
the
dad.
That was just for us. Yeah. The audience was like, oh, it's going to be sad when something happens to this guy.
Yeah, I knew he was going to die immediately when he's like, oh, I've got kids. It's like, I bet you're one week away from retirement, too.
What did Jerry think was going to happen? Yeah, I don't know. Like,
yeah, that wasn't super clear. Like, maybe it just takes a man being immolated to...
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. Yeah, I guess just seeing that, he was like, oh shit, like, this is real.
That would be pretty horrific to see a man, absolutely, like, on fire.
But this is a movie, and it didn't
Well, it's funny that we're talking about this part of the movie, because I feel like the whole part leading up to prison could just be gone. Like, they could just get rid of that. Like, you don't even really need it to set
up
the
character. We have to establish that he's a free-loving... Yeah. Not a terrible dude.
Just looking for free love and dope, man.
Oh, who isn't? I mean...
that's really... I took notes while I was watching this the first time, and I literally said that. I put that in my notebook.
I mean, we live in California.
I mean...
I think it was, a lot of that buildup was kind of necessary for the purpose of, like, this movie, but...
I think, yeah, the way they... tried to make this movie go, I think that was necessary, because they're trying to do it from Daniel Day-Lewis's perspective mostly.
I think we almost started like too late. Like, there was one scene where he's in Northern Ireland and they're like running.
Yeah,
we could have
skipped. Like, I guess they have all the riot, or that first riot scene is there to set up like what he's coming from. But we probably could have started it when he got to London.
Yeah, and but. I mean,
I don't know, they probably just could have shown, like, a montage of terrible things from riots happening.
Or just, like, news footage.
I mean,
they did,
like
a narration anyways, so it's like, why not just, like, lean into that if you're gonna do it?
The only reason I can think of is this, it's to set up, like, oh, this is, you know, kind of the political climate in Ireland.
Yeah,
and so that's,
and I guess,
why...
like, I'm more familiar with that, because it was, like, a big deal at the time, and I love Irish movies, so, like... I was like, yeah, Northern Ireland, yeah, it's messed up.
Yeah, see, I that's all kind of a blind spot for me, but I still feel it's like, yeah, you probably could have compacted that a little bit. Since it's a true story, like, you don't have to establish it as much as you can just tell us what happened in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me, the interesting part of the story was the government cover-up of the whole thing. And I kind of wish the movie was all from Emma Thompson's perspective. And her just uncovering this, kind of like a spotlight version of this movie.
I think this movie should have just been a documentary. Honestly.
Well, yeah. if we're really getting down to it.
I'm like, I could have just watched an hour/hour and a half long documentary about this, like, subject and been, like, way better off. Which is exactly how I feel about Spotlight.
Yeah, that too.
I think Spotlight was a better movie than this.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's but, true. But it still would have been a
but you
wouldn't
get the Mark Ruffalo. They knew.
Just like, yeah.
They knew.
I mean, we would have missed out on some integral Daniel Day-Lewis crying and screaming and dancing around with the tape around
that
his head.
Was,
and I was like, ah, oh, you're going a little too far.
Yeah, that part I was like, oh boy, come on.
My favorite part of that is when the guard comes in, he's like, silver-haired guard. It's like, it's okay,
we'll get through this.
The one Irish guard.
There's a lot of Irishness in this, except for Rastaman.
Yeah.
What's
he doing there?
Well, so, like, in that period in England, there was, like, a bunch of weird stuff going on in Jamaica that were either, like, radicalist movements or, like, threats to the crown that were kind of, like, coming into the country. So I'm assuming they imprisoned a bunch of Jamaican people in the same manner that they did with the Irish people.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I was kind of hoping, like, it was a similar situation with him. Because, that honestly, he was the character I probably latched onto the most.
Oh, yeah. Like, this guy's amazing.
Everybody, yeah.
He has a... acid dipped puzzle.
Oh man!
Yeah.
It's like he kind of, you know, if I were gonna go to prison for a crime I didn't commit, you could do a lot worse than, like, you know.
It's true. You're just tripping, like, on acid. Yeah. And I mean, you're not really gonna worry about the flashbacks because you're in prison. So
yeah, whatever, man. At least the chips are good. But yeah, I was hoping that, because before he meets Rastaman, he's saying that he's in prison with a bunch of murderers and rapists. And I'm just like, oh no, I hope that neither of those are the category that Rastaman falls under.
And then you hear nothing about his backstory.
No, none whatsoever. Hey, Jerimon.
He's just the one nice guy he finds.
Yeah, really, he's probably the most wholesome character other than our two leads.
Well, yeah, there's dad, and yeah.
And actually, he's not really all that wholesome, but, you know.
He did innocent. Bring everyone together in an acid trip, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
There's redeeming qualities.
Well, I mean, Rastaman, yeah.
Not according to Jerry's dad, Giuseppe.
Well, drugs are bad.
Yeah, drugs, as we will learn when we do Requiem for a Dream.
That's a whole nother level of bad times with drugs.
That's just like, whoa, that's bad for everybody.
That's bad. What do you think about the performances in this? All three acting nominations here for Emma Thompson, Daniel Day-Lewis, obviously, and Pete Postlewaite.
Is that the dad?
That's the dad. Yeah.
I like the dad the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I think Daniel Day-Lewis's performance is probably the strongest, but I still enjoyed watching the dad more. Like, the dad was just kind of, like, more pleasant to watch. Sometimes it just really seemed like we were just talking about it. It seems like Daniel Day-Lewis was, like, really hamming it up. Like, yeah. He was going, the director could have pulled him back a little bit. Just a little bit. Like, I mean, you know, he's decent at the crying, and the screaming was cool. I felt like...
Well, when they were getting tortured by the police, like, yeah. I felt like that went on... just way too long.
It was pretty long.
That was, yeah. Like, during that, I got reminded of Hot Fuzz, because they're, like, torturing him, and then outside, they're celebrating a birthday, and they're coming with the cake, and they're like, happy birthday to you, and they're passing by them torturing Daniel Day-Lewis, and they're like, oh, shh, and they, like, keep singing quietly, and I'm like, this seems so silly, like, I get that they're trying to contrast that, you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, they're torturing a man.
Yeah,
here,
I mean, I guess they're trying to show the other side of the story, like why the police did that. They're trying to humanize them a little bit more with, like, the scenes of them in the hallway and, like.
Well, that one detective.
The one detective. The,
or inspector,
like,
detective, whatever.
Whatever they are.
Whatever it is. Yeah, detective. Sorry.
My dad watches, like, every single British cops show. The worst programming ever.
Bobbies.
Yeah, I mean, I never really felt for the cops, though. I was always like, these guys are kind of scumbags.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah. If that one cop had come back, the one who knew that, like, he was coercing him into signing the confession by saying that he was going to shoot his dad. If he came back, then that probably would have made more sense to me. Because then, they're throwing in this little arc that even the police, but that didn't happen in real life.
He's just like, I'm going back.
Yeah.
I'm out.
And, you know, I hate to say it because I love Emma Thompson, but I don't think her performance was, like, okay. It was competent. Like, most of the stuff in the movie is, like, it's fine. Like, it gets the story across, even though it kind of takes a little long. But she's just kind of there.
Yeah, she doesn't have enough of a
she just doesn't have much
presence in the movie, really.
Yeah, and I wish they would have leaned into that because it seemed like for years she had been helping the dad, and then all of a sudden she, like, shows up in prison one day, and you're like, oh, okay, was this an ongoing thing, or did she just start helping him? Or, and then for, like, the last third of the movie, which I found the most interesting, she's there and doing stuff, but I'm like, well, this would have been cool to see throughout instead of just, like, in this last half.
She and I think it probably would have been more suited to a movie if she were the main character, I think.
Yeah.
You can't really follow, like, screaming, crying man for 2.5 hours.
You know, Daniel Day-Lewis is always a joy to watch, but it would have been almost like a mystery thriller or something, having her kind of figure out that, you know, it's like, oh, shit, this man's been innocent, like, the whole time.
Yeah, and there wasn't, like, a big reveal in the movie, because you already knew that they were lying about the homeless guy not being real or whatever.
And
if it was from Emma Thompson's point of view, then that could be, like, a reveal later on in the movie. Like, oh, shit, they covered this up. They did find him.
Did they ever specifically show them writing that note?
No.
No.
Because she just kind of finds it, and it's... I guess that really happened.
Too. So, like, I was like, is that even admissible evidence? Like,
no, yeah, just, that's like, what I was
that
thinking.
Paperwork from.
So I don't know, it's Parliament.
I
got
powdered
weights and
how,
everything. It's all
you know,
kinds
the
of
barristers
silly.
Work, but...
Well, there's a lot of weird things in this. Like, she would not be the lawyer in court.
Well, in real life, she wasn't the actual. Like, she did have a law degree, but she was more of a. She was more of an activist. She was kind of the one getting it in the public spotlight.
Yeah, yeah.
And she wasn't actually the one heading up the appeals
case. She wouldn't
case.
Be in the courtroom, yeah.
So that's why Gabriel Byrne walked away?
It was, yeah. So Gabriel Byrne executive produced this, and I looked into it a little bit, and he was originally eyeing the lead role. I don't know what, I can't remember what the reason was that he ended up not doing it, but he backed off of it. Because like, but he still had to have his name on it, but he kind of backed away from all the publicity and everything because there was a whole controversy about how like it wasn't 100% accurate, like the father wasn't in prison with the son,
they didn't share a cell.
Yeah, Jerry and Giuseppe didn't share a cell. Like we were saying, Emma Thompson didn't head up that appeals case. There were like a bunch of little things. They're like, oh well, it's not 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe now there have been so many movies based off true stories, like, you know, it's been like 20 years, so people probably accept that there are going to be
more.
Well,
yeah, and it just saves time a lot of time, where if they did like two separate trials for like Jerry and his friend and then all the family, that's just more time in the movie where you're like wasting it accomplishing a very simple thing.
Yeah, like, you know, they got arrested. They didn't commit the crime.
It's the Dr. Manhattan deal where it's like, yeah. That's a terrible ending because it's not like the comic book, but it's like, yeah, but it saves like 35 extra minutes of setting up a giant squid monster.
Yeah, it makes more sense, you know? Like cinematically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think people are more open to like changes being made to like true stories. It's like, yeah, we get it. It's a movie version of it.
Well, if you've ever seen any like Mark Wahlberg true story, massive amounts of liberties taken in like all those. Is that Peter Berg that does all those
yeah
movies?
I think so, yeah, all the, you know, like cashing in on tragedies.
Like
yeah.
Which ones? Like
Boston Marathon, the Boston bombing.
There's a bomb gonna go off in the Boston Marathon.
This oil rig's on fire.
When did Mark Wahlberg get here? But do you guys think this movie has not aged well? Do you think
I don't know, I guess the pacing is not modern at all.
No.
And I feel like my brain has got accustomed to like the quickness of like movies
now.
Oh
yeah, it was not a fast movie.
And I had a hard time like digging in because I wasn't like immediately like taken hold by the story. So I'm like, all right, I'm getting into this. And then finally by the end I'm like, all right, I'm interested now.
I mean, it was able to keep my attention, but I can absolutely see how like any modern audience member would be like, this is just like too slow. And it kind of gets by on that, you know, this was a true story pass.
Yeah.
Even though they take like certain liberties and it's like, I mean, like I said, this is coming from a more, you know, like contemporary perspective than like 20 years ago. It's like, you can cut out a few more things. Like, we just need the gist of the story. And they tried to keep some things accurate. At least like the setup, I think, was 100% accurate, or not, maybe, you know, like pretty damn accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like everything in prison and beyond was, that's where they kind of condensed everything down and merged, like the head of that IRA, or maybe I don't even know if he was the head of the IRA.
Like
he's like
the
really,
something.
Yeah, like a general of the IRA. He was actually multiple characters.
Yeah.
And they never shared a prison with Giuseppe or Jerry. Like that, they were in completely separate prison, they had admitted to it and all that. Yeah, it could have been like cut down and compressed, and just for that, I feel like it's like yeah, this doesn't need to be this long.
Yeah, I don't think it really serves the movie in any real way either. You know, I don't think it's like a slow burn where we're really diving into these characters and, you know, developing some like bonds with them at all, really.
Well, then I feel like they really tried to hammer in like the time period, but it didn't really ever seem to like stick with me. I'm like,
lots of flared collars.
Yeah, I'm like, I get it. It's the 70s, and you just played all of a Jimi Hendrix song during this scene. Like,
did they really play the whole thing? I didn't even
know. Damn near the whole thing in that opening scene. I swear to God, they play that entire song almost, and I was just like, man. This is too much. It's too long.
And there's some Bob Dylan in there too.
Yeah.
during the frolicking scene. I think that was
where they were
like
drinking beer on the ship.
I was like,
a lot of classic songs. Yeah, this movie was clearly like an Oscar bait movie for the time. Yeah.
When Giuseppe first shows up in prison, and then all of a sudden Daniel Day-Lewis goes into a monologue about, oh, you never loved me, father. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes into the hate crazy thing about how, like, you know, it's like, oh, I won a medal in soccer once. And you know,
something about a soccer.
That part completely, I actually felt pretty on board with everything other than the cake scene up until then. And then he went into this monologue. I'm like, that's a really good monologue, and he does a good job with it. But I don't, this seems really, why would, you're just seeing your father after you're getting arrested, and then you just go on this rant about how he never loved you.
Yeah, the emotional, like, motivations at times were just like, where did that come from? Like, what possessed you to be like that right now?
But yeah, like, I guess he was just mad at himself, and so he's just like lashing out. But
it seemed like it was just there so that they could play that just before his Best Actor nomination.
I guess
that's what that felt like to me.
Yeah, it didn't work out with the tape scene, so they had to do that monologue.
It was a little too out there. You needed some build up to the rapping
cassette
tape.
That doesn't really work for a sizzle reel when you just got a guy like goo and gawing with tape wrapped around his face.
Yeah, yeah. He really goes hard with that scene, which, you know, once again, commendable, great performance, but it seems a little out of place.
And it was at such a weird time, too. Like, he was totally fine, like, just recording his little, you know.
Yeah.
Narration for the lawyer so we can move the story along, and then it's like, no, I'm gonna pull this tape apart and like go nuts.
Yeah, was there anything that like sparked that? It was just like,
no, I mean, just
the
that his dad died
of prison.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like we need like a beat in there where something reminds him of his dad and then he loses his shit. I don't know, something.
Yeah, I think maybe he was like, if I remember correctly, he was like talking about Giuseppe for a minute, and then he, you know, devolves into like twirling around,
yeah,
getting another Oscar scene in there.
Didn't get it. Did not get the Oscar.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, I think his, like I said, I think his performance was the strongest one, but I,
you know who he lost to?
Was it Liam Neeson?
No, he was nominated. Tom Hanks, Philadelphia.
Oh.
Also nominated, Anthony Hopkins for The Remains of the Day.
Never even heard of that one.
That's he's like a butler. I know it's not. I don't think so. I've seen it, but Emma Thompson was also nominated for
best
actress in that the same year she's nominated for best supporting in this. And then Lawrence Fishburne nominated for best actor in What's Love Got to Do with It? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. Oh yeah. So Bono was supposed to play Jerry's friend. Originally, like, he was like
God,
all on board. The only reason it didn't happen is because his touring schedule was so so crazy that he couldn't come and film those scenes.
The guy that they put
the super long hair guy. Yeah. I can't remember what his name is.
I cannot
Tom Ross or something.
That at all.
That would be very distracting.
It would be, but it'd be, you know, it'd be a great part for Bono. That's what
I mean,
feel like.
He's a huge piece of shit.
I feel like this movie is comprised mostly of like, this will be a great part for you. It's in a true story, you know, prison drama.
You've only got to show up for like 10 days to shoot all your scenes. You're going to get an Oscar nomination and then you're out of here and we're going to pay you relatively well.
Yeah.
Do you know who won Best Supporting this year?
No.
Not Ralph Fiennes.
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh yeah, and The Fugitive.
For The Fugitive.
That's a good movie.
Yeah,
that's a great
but
performance too.
Ray Fiennes.
Yeah. See, I, you know, confession time. I've never seen Schindler's List.
Oh, see, it's
so
good.
I
probably like The Fugitive way more than Schindler's List.
Yeah, I could see that. I'd probably rather watch that.
I don't care.
Everybody still talks about that.
I guess that was improvised.
I believe it. Tommy Lee Jones is, you know, he's a man of his craft. I have a lot of personal reasons why I think this hasn't held up well and why not many people have seen it. But honestly, I think the main reason is because it was up against such heavy hitters. Like, it's mostly Schindler's List. Like, Schindler's List just kind of dominated that year because it's, you know, friggin' Spielberg.
Yeah, dominated everything except for those acting categories. They didn't give it to him for some reason, but...
I feel like Schindler's List is kind of a silent-ish movie. Like, there's not a whole lot of, like, huge performances like in other movies. Like, they're very subtle. So I feel like...
The subject matter, you know, sure,
like,
is...
people coming into it are like, oh my god, that performance is amazing. Where, like, a more subdued performance isn't as, like, visually... like recognizable on a first go around or like so new, but after like years upon years you're like, oh yeah, that's an amazing performance.
Well, it probably had to do with, like I said, not having not seen it, just I feel like Spielberg is probably a better filmmaker than this guy, because that there was nothing visually interesting about this movie at all. It looked like just a 90s like drama movie, just generic.
Yeah, this is very generic looking. Yeah,
nothing of note. Yeah. I was trying to like find something where I'm like even the shot where they like look up through the floorboards that they've been burning and like
that was
all the people come out. I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice. Yeah. But I mean,
I guess the scene where they're after Giuseppe died and then they put the burning paper out the
But that's just like a visually interesting scenario. Yeah. I don't feel like it was shot like super cool.
No.
It was just like a camera set up.
Yeah, basically. It's like somebody filming fireworks on their iPhone or something.
And I was like, apparently Giuseppe really bonded with all these prisoners.
They're like, yeah, they killed Giuseppe. What
the hell? Thank you, Giuseppe, man.
Apparently they all really cared about him.
I mean, yeah, they never showed that. No. The only thing I could think of was that everybody's kind of mourning for Jerry more so than for Giuseppe.
Maybe.
But it's either, even that's not. Like,
I guess maybe they all know that he was innocent.
But then again, like, that didn't even happen. So it's all like fabricated for the movie.
No, yeah, and that's all I was thinking was like, this is just something. This is a cool shot that you thought you'd
take. Yeah. Oh, man. That's like definitely a trailer shot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got to throw something, a visual. That might even been like a studio note. It's like, we got to throw something like interesting. Like, I don't know, everybody like has like a...
You guys have been sitting in the Paddington prison for like an hour and a half. You need to give me something here.
Like, I don't know, like some pink jumpsuits or something. I don't know, God.
Marmalade sandwiches. Just like...
Are you stupid? We're not doing pink jumpsuits.
Nobody will buy that.
Nobody wants to see that.
Although I gotta say, just as a side note, I thought the prison uniforms were actually pretty stylish.
They were pretty rad.
Yeah.
The yellow ones.
Yeah, they had a great cut and like, you know.
It reminded me of like an 80s X-Men uniform.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, when the best thing you can say about most of the sequences is like the fashion was really, you know, like
the long collars and the leather jackets that were maroon were great.
Yeah, the fuzzy coat after he robbed the hooker. Oh man, it just flowed. Like, that costume design probably should have been nominated on this, but I don't think it was.
Well, then I found that odd that, like, so he robs the hooker and they're like, where were you? And it's like, no robberies were reported. Can't he like approximate that address and they can go see if like a hooker lives there or something?
Yeah. I didn't think
I don't think he knew like where he was really, because they were just like wandering
they knew the general vicinity, and they didn't really know.
Like, I don't think they could even say, I feel like they kept saying like, yeah, I'm not sure, I knew I wasn't there where this building blew up, but
yeah. And then the lawyer doesn't say anything about like, oh well, why would a hooker report a robbery?
Yeah, that would be my first like, yeah, well, if she was a hooker, why would she report a robbery?
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm a criminal and, you know, all my ill-gotten gains have been stolen,
all this money I got from illegal activity has been stolen. Like, somebody steals your drugs or your money from drugs, you don't report it to the cops.
Yeah, I feel like the cops that, you know, like, essentially framed him and his family, they were all, like, they were a little cartoonish for me. Because, like, when, you know, like, when they're found guilty, you have his wife in the stands. It's like, yes! Like, just, like, I'm like, oh, man. That's
Irish pigs.
I mean, it was probably kind of like that.
Probably, those, yeah. Because
they freaking hated the Irish people. Like, yeah, like.
The British created a famine in Ireland, so.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of love lost for those people.
That's fair. Yeah.
There was three other movies from this year on the top 250. One of them we talked about a lot, Schindler's List.
Schindler's List.
Then we have two other great movies, Jurassic Park and Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Groundhog Day was 93.
Are you calling me a liar?
No, I'm just like, I thought that was earlier for some reason.
It does kind of seem like an 80s movie.
Yeah.
Spielberg doubling up Schindler's List and Jurassic Park.
Yeah, oh boy, I missed that when I read that.
Schindler's List was a student film. He went back to college or something and submitted Schindler's List as a student film and clearly got an A.
Yeah, right. It's like B minus.
B plus.
I don't know. It just seems the black and white's just contrived.
Even get color?
Well, it was, black and white scenario.
I don't see it that way.
Oh boy.
Just your anti-Semitic professor. Yeah.
Do we know how far apart this came out compared to Jurassic Park? Was this something that Jurassic Park was
What, Schindler's List or
this
movie?
Yeah, obviously, I feel Spielberg would have the wherewithal to be why don't we release my movies in two different time frames?
I don't know the answer to that, Matt.
Because I could see this being Jurassic Park's coming out and the studio's okay, so what we need is an Oscar Beatty movie to come out when Jurassic Park comes out, because that's obviously going to be a highfalutin Spielberg adventure. And then you're going to have your old people who are going to want, they're based on a true story, Daniel Day-Lewis performance.
And they're guess what? Schindler's List has been in theaters since February.
Shit.
Jurassic Park came out in June.
Yeah, it's a quintessential. In the name of the Father. He's with the rosary beads, man.
Oh, boy.
Irish Catholics.
Those Catholics are up to no
good. And it's there's kind of a religious component sometimes, but... It's not really.
The title would make you think it is a theme throughout. And
this didn't come out till February 1994?
Oh.
That's what that says.
So that qualifies still, I guess, for 93?
Well, yeah.
Is that how that works? I don't know.
They might have had different rules back then. The Academy's all kinds of bonkers. Yeah, I could have swore it was before February. Maybe January.
There's a 2-week period where you have to show everything, and if it doesn't...
It could have had a limited release.
That's true.
Maybe this is the U.S. release.
I bet you it was released in...
It was just distributed by Universal later. Because they're both Universal Pictures. Duh. Universal and Jurassic Park. Yeah. I don't know about... Wait, who did Schindler's List?
I have no idea.
Or who released Schindler's List?
Amblin Entertainment. That's a total guess.
Usually it's in conjunction with somebody else.
Well, any other thoughts on this movie, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I said it pretty early on. This whole thing should have just been a documentary.
Yeah, I would have really enjoyed a good documentary of this. It's a really interesting
story. The story is everything. Yeah. The story is everything. Even with the Daniel Day-Lewis performance, the story is what's really compelling about everything that happens in the movie. Even if some of the, some of the minor details are kind of tweaked a bit.
But yeah, my thoughts on this movie. I think I'm the only person that saw this movie before we watched it for this episode.
Oh, really?
I was going through Daniel Day-Lewis's old movies just to see... what it was all about. I think my thoughts for this movie are generally summed up with, I couldn't tell you a single thing about this movie, even though I had watched it before, really. So I completely forgot about this movie existed until we had to do this
Oscar
episode.
Movie. Yeah. That's.
I think somebody that we knew was really into this movie.
Maybe Anthony.
Yeah.
Because he was really into Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it, but... knowing nothing about it at all.
Yeah, I mean,
someone
this
told
is probably...
me multiple times, you need to watch movie, and I'm like, I don't know that I.
Hey,
do.
You got an Irish last name. You should
I
watch
do,
this
yeah,
movie.
I'm the only Irish person of Irish descent here.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean,
I probably have some.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm white.
I'm half Mexican. That's like the Irish of that's America,
yeah.
and a lot
yeah.
of
yeah. Yeah.
That's probably another thing that's actually that I would say is a positive of this movie is there's a lot of things that are really kind of contemporary concepts that were already happening in Britain. I was thinking, with the whole national defense thing, I was it's the NSA before the NSA was a thing.
Yeah, how they can hold terrorists.
Yeah,
for 7 days.
Legal representation or anything.
So the 90s IRA. It was a hot topic because that was kind of the forefront of terrorism and homegrown terrorism. terrorism because they were training with some of like the jihadist type of people in the same kind of environments and sort of like doing similar things. But
it makes sense. Yeah.
You know, the Irish struggle had been going on since like 1918 is when they wanted independence. So it had been like a consistent thing forever, but then it really hit like there was de-escalating going on in the 90s, but it was still like in the forefront because people weren't like letting it go yet. So it's really interesting to see like all these movies about the IRA come out in the 90s and then like nothing after that.
Yeah, I other than Clear and Present Danger, I hadn't seen any other movie that like even like kind of like touched on the IRA.
There's In the Name of the Father with Brad Pitt, and then State of Grace like touches on it.
Wait, what? It's the same name of this movie?
Sorry.
No,
it's When the Devil Knows You're Dead with Brad Pitt and Harrison Ford. Similar.
Basically
the same thing. See, when we were like, oh, we're going to watch this movie, I thought it was the other movie, and I got kind of excited because I'm like, oh, Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt, this movie's great. And then I'm like, oh man. But yeah, I basically agree. Like, this should have just been a documentary, and I would have been way more into it.
Where do you think this stacks up for Daniel Day-Lewis's performances that you've seen?
But I've seen it's easily the lowest. And that's not even, you know, it's like, it sounds really bad, but it's, you know, relatively, because it's Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. Like, he always brings everything. Obviously, he brought everything to the time, but he hadn't really, like, honed in on, you know, really making a mark with his performances. This one was a lot of screaming.
This was after he won Best Actor for My Left Foot,
which I haven't seen, so I can't, you know, I can't throw that on my list.
Well, I find it interesting that this guy directed the other two Daniel Day-Lewis movies.
Like, he doesn't have that many credits, but like, yeah, his first few movies, he has like three Daniel Day-Lewis movies.
Yeah, Boxer and My Left Foot.
Yeah, right?
And I know those are both kind of like revered in some sense.
I've heard of them. This one,
yeah, they're all those movies are kind of similar to this, where it's like kind of like a true, I think, I don't know if Boxer is a true story, but My Left Foot is a true story.
Is he the Peter Berg of his day?
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy
I'm bad with directors.
Like the Boston bombing and like,
okay,
you know, Deepwater Horizon.
You were talking about before.
And he uses the same, actor. That's a movie this year.
I think 2 years ago, two of those movies, both directed by Peter Berg and both starring Mark Wahlberg, came out. And I was like, when do we just like, when do we just stop?
Is anybody going to say like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore?
Is Peter Berg just like Mark Wahlberg's like pen name?
I could see that.
Possibly.
That's a good conspiracy theory.
Well, he directed some good movies like before all of these schlocky, like,
so yeah, no, I know I've heard his name before, but now I just associate him with
disaster
porn.
Yeah, and honestly, I can't tell you what those movies are, but they exist.
Yeah, I think this is my least favorite Daniel Day-Lewis performance and movie that I've seen from him. I don't need to go through all the ones I've seen, but yeah, like, I'd rather watch My Left Foot again because that performance is really interesting. And obviously, There Will Be Blood. Gangs of New York, I think that's a better performance from him, even though that movie, I think, is flawed. Whenever he's on screen, it's captivating, I would say.
Well, you got Cameron Diaz in there.
Yeah. Something About Mary fame.
I was trying to figure out what was the problem with that movie. What was the problem?
Or that, like, shot of the Twin Towers at the end for just way too long.
That was right after, right?
Yeah, it was just, like, right after, and they just, like, really focus in on that.
I actually haven't seen Gangs in New York, or at least the last half.
You don't need to see
the last part.
You've seen There Will Be Blood, you're fine.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't seen Lincoln, so...
I haven't seen that either.
I was told that that is very good. Today, even.
Yeah.
Moments ago. Moments before this podcast.
Mere moments.
Yeah, I'd probably say There Will Be Blood is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care about this movie.
See, I think part of the problem isn't just that it's not his performance. It's just the movie itself.
The movie, yeah. I think the performance isn't as interesting as his other ones, but...
No.
I haven't seen, like, Phantom Thread or Nine. Ooh, or...
Phantom Thread's good.
And I think...
Always eating sausages.
Oh, yeah.
He's eating sausages in this one.
He eats sausages in this, and then he eats sausages and a bunch of other stuff in Phantom Thread.
But... Bunch of stuff.
It's a big breakfast.
Phantom Thread is very good.
Yeah, that's.
I need to watch that.
That's, you know, PTA.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a good one. Best romantic comedy in years.
Best writing comedies.
It's mostly the fault of just the core concept of kind of the story shouldn't be told this way.
I agree. Yeah. Any other thoughts you guys need to get off your chest?
I do have in my notes that Emma Thompson was a dish back in the day. Other than that, no.
Duly noted.
I took one note for this movie. What was that? Gabriel Byrne production ?
Yeah, no, that was my first note too. I was like, Gabriel Byrne, he peed.
I was sad to, in my research, learn that Pete was deceased.
Oh yeah, he died like, yeah. What was it? It wasn't too
It was
long
like
ago, right?
Like 5 years ago or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think his performance in James and the Giant Peach is probably
which one was he in that? The
he's like the magic.
Or?
No, he's the magic homeless guy who gives James the little corkscrew pasta.
I love James and the Giant Peach.
The thing that starts the whole
yeah,
thing.
A little glowy corkscrew pasta. Well, that's cool. Flies around, gets into the peach and infects all the insects around it.
He's in a bunch of
he's a great supporting or
great
was a great supporting.
Yeah.
He is in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He's one of those like it's like, oh, it's that guy, guys.
Yeah. He's in Usual Suspects.
I don't know.
Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
He's like the enforcer guy in Usual Suspects, right? That's like wearing
Yeah,
the
he's Kobayashi.
Oh yeah. Which made no sense to me. Well, he's like hardcore British guy.
Well, he's named that because that's at the bottom of the cup. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's showing all the stuff. But yeah, I think we've said pretty much all we can muster. Yeah, now it's time to decide if we want this on our top 100 list. I want a simple yes or no as we go around the table. And if we need to, we can deliberate afterwards. But let's start with you, Carter.
No.
Matt?
Nah.
And that's a no for me as well. Yeah, this movie didn't really do it for me. I'd say it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all competent.
It's fine. There's decent performances in it, I would say, from Daniel Day-Lewis and Pete. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Boy, Double P.
Double P.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and it's an interesting story, but I just don't think they stick the landing on
a lot of things. Yeah.
Almost everything.
Other than the acting.
The visuals, the music, the structure.
There is no music for most of it.
There is
the soundtrack.
I mean,
I
in the beginning.
It's just like people screaming for like the family scene where they're just in the house and the kids are running around screaming and there's like nothing to break that up. I'm just I'm losing my mind. I can't.
Yeah, do we think it should even be in these top 250 movies?
No, I think it's almost an oversight that it's still there. Like,
yeah, I think it's people just remembering that movie, like, oh yeah,
that
was
story.
That was up for a bunch of Oscars.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
How does the list work? Did you guys talk about this in your?
It's
last
just
one?
The highest rated movies from IMDb.
It's user ratings, right?
User ratings,
just user ratings.
Yeah,
which is confounding for this movie because you'd think people.
I don't know anybody who's ever mentioned this movie before.
And also, well, maybe that's why it just lingered where it is because rated it in like 5 years. So, you know, it's just sitting there. But you'd think something else would just.
I think slowly.
Yeah, knock it off. I said.
I think it's at like an 8.1, and like the lowest score on the list is an 8.0. So I think eventually it'll drop off.
Get knocked out.
When another Green Book shows up.
Yeah.
Green Book's on there, baby.
I know.
We'll get to that someday.
Can't wait for the Green Book podcast.
Yeah, I don't think this movie is up there, unfortunately.
I will say, but big positive, I didn't know about this story before we watched the movie. And
no,
it's
good to...
It's very interesting to kind of, for the first time, learn about the, you know, this whole business. You could just kind of switch out the races and the like the populations, like, oh, you know, it's just Muslims instead of Irish people.
Mm-hmm.
And you could totally see that happening today. So I think that's the only thing that kind of transcends the movie itself is just that it's like, oh wow, this story could just switch a couple things around and it's like pretty much like everybody be like, oh yeah, this happened like last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to tell stories like this in movies because it does like put this into the conscious of the masses and just like, yeah, this happened and now there's this movie that reminds us of that.
Yeah.
Other than we're going back 20 years later and looking at it. So it's good that it just exists in that respect, that it didn't get forgotten So maybe it is good that it's on the list.
I feel like we've been kind of harsh on it, but it's not like a terrible movie.
No, it's
fine.
Yeah,
it's...
I watched it with my girlfriend who falls asleep in every movie, and it held her attention for almost 2.5 there hours. You go. So, you know.
Should have had her.
Yeah, it's just hard to say the movie itself. If it stands alone from, like, if this weren't based off a true story, I have a hard time seeing it kind of like standing on its own.
That's where Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, whatever the name of that movie is, with Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt, it's, I think, a fictional story, and it is way more entertaining because they can throw some, like,
flair,
and action-y elements.
Take some liberties.
They're not going to get knocked for taking liberties on anything.
But this is a much more serious, and it actually, like, points out the plight of these people a lot more than, like, oh, there's fun gun action happening. You know,
yeah, there's no fun gun action in the whole movie.
No. So, yeah.
Solid baton action.
there's some good baton action. But, I just have one more question for you guys. Carter, this will be your first time getting this question. I just want to make it clear that this question, it's not, do you think this movie is better or worse, like, critically? It just, do you like this movie, in your personal opinion, better than this movie?
Is this a yes or no?
This is, thank you for pointing that out. This is a yes or no answer. Is this movie better than Paddington?
No.
Matt?
Absolutely not.
Definitely not.
The whole time I was watching it in the prison, I was like, I could be watching Paddington 2 and having a great time. Now, I won't be learning about the plight of the Irish people, but...
What about the plight of people and bears from Darkest Peru?
Darkest Peru.
Equally oppressed.
Yes, exactly. It's still an immigrant being convicted of something that he did not do.
You come to England looking for a better life, and they throw you right in prison. It's just the British way. You just want to eat your marmalade sandwiches.
We all just want to get our marmalade sandwiches.
I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, pretty much. Not love and dope.
It's marmalade. Hats and marmalade sandwiches.
Hats, marmalade sandwiches, and cross-dressing jokes.
Yeah. Stop that sexy lady.
When are we going to do Paddington?
That
I feel like we need to do that pretty soon, since we're comparing every movie to Paddington. And Paddington 2, I kind of lump them together.
They're equal.
Yeah, they're, you know, it's like, it's
kind of like trying to pick out a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, it's all part of the same, you know, entity.
Okay, we can look at it.
Is it on the list?
No,
it's not.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Does that have like enough votes or something? I don't know what it is.
Well, so a lot of people are sleeping on Paddington.
Yeah,
They saw the trailer.
I thought it was highly rated, though.
They saw the trailer.
Probably not enough people have rated it highly.
They go, oh, that looks stupid, because we all did that.
Everybody did that.
All did that.
Everybody.
Yeah. And then we saw the Rotten Tomatoes score on it, and was like,
maybe we should check this out.
And it was a delight.
Yeah, I have not shown Paddington or Paddington 2 to anyone who has been like, that wasn't all that. All
right, so this movie got an 8.1 on IMDb. What do you think Paddington got?
6.5.
No, not that bad.
Okay.
7.2. Ooh.
What?
How? Why?
Yeah.
Did they watch the movie?
I bet you a lot of those people didn't watch the movie.
You think so?
That's probably,
none of those people that are just, like, rating stuff on IMDb are going to go to In the Name of the Father. They're just not.
That's what, like, I'm saying. It slipped through the cracks. It's like...
Okay, Paddington 2, 7.9.
Well, okay.
See, more people were aware of it. Yeah. You know.
There was buzz.
There was buzz. People were talking about it in their best ofs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to, you know, we need to, like our boy Giuseppe, we need to start a campaign, mobilize the masses.
Well, I heard the director is not coming back for Paddington 3, which makes me very sad.
That's upsetting. I'm willing to follow the director to whatever other movie he decides to do, but that's a tragedy for Paddington fans everywhere.
It's a Lego Movie 2 scenario. Of course, we did get Spider-Verse out of that. So maybe
that was actually a good deal.
Spider-Verse on the list.
I'm cool.
Spider-Verse deserves to be on the list.
No good solo movie, and then Spider-Verse comes out. So that was a good trade-off, I think. Thank you, Kathleen Kennedy.
Have you seen any...
For that one thing.
Have you seen any movies lately, Carter?
Oh, I saw Shazam.
How was that?
That was fun.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't want to like die at the end of the movie from just like
that's saying a lot for a DC movie.
Yeah, characters being treated so poorly, like
you can put that on the box. Didn't want to die.
Yeah, I mean, I felt uplifted during most of the movie. And there was some dark stuff in there, so I feel like it just tread this nice little path.
You bonded with the characters.
I did. I will say the kid actors were like really hit or miss.
Yeah.
They were either like, oh, that's amazing, or you're like, eh. I saw How to Train Your Dragon 3, which is hot garbage.
Really?
I didn't see How to Train Your Dragon 2, but I feel like I didn't have a hard time making the leaps of what happened in that movie.
Not a lot.
Yeah. So, I saw Us.
How was that?
I enjoyed that a great deal. I saw it with our friend Chase, who didn't like it as much, but like I'm still thinking about that movie. So I feel like that's
it was a good movie. Like I can't think of anything bad about it.
No, yeah, and it's still kind of like scary, but I'm also just thinking of weird things associated with the movie, like weird scenarios for like what was happening in the movie.
You got Tim Heidecker here.
Oh god, don't even, you know, apparently God's gift to comedy.
Scientologist Elizabeth Moss.
Is she a Scientologist?
Yeah, she's a devout Scientologist, Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, other than that, I don't think so. I'm gonna go tour Lucasfilm this weekend, so that's exciting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And they're showing at the Lucasfilm Theater They Shall Not Grow Old, so I might go see that.
Ooh. I really want to see that. Like the clip I saw of it looked really cool.
It played at our like dollar theater locally for like a week, and I was just like, really? This didn't get like a full
release in 3D. I don't think many people saw that.
What was it? Yeah. Sorry.
It's the World War One Peter Jackson documentary where he like took the actual like film footage from World War One, colorized it, and added like sound effects and
uses the power of CGI for good.
Yeah. And apparently they showed it in 3D, and the 3D is Anakin supposedly amazing.
Put Anakin's Force Ghost in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, you know, it was just like he had to do it because he's like a huge World War One person.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Anakin.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
I was just ignoring
you. I'm just going to ignore that ever happened.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Next episode, you guys want to know what it is?
I think I have an idea.
Oh, did I send it to you already? I think
you did.
Yes. Okay.
Is it Paddington 2?
No.
We should probably hit Paddington 1 and 2 in the same go, but that should be next time, I think.
Okay. Maybe we'll do that. But the next IMDb movie, highest movie we've done yet, first animated movie, Spirited Away.
Oh, I got lots of things to talk about on that.
Spirited Away. So yeah, I'd like to have you guys on that episode, and
people gonna learn some stuff.
Like gonna learn today.
Last week we voted Monty Python onto our top 100. Yeah, that's the whole list so far.
Well, I mean, that deserves to be on.
It's
yeah.
We talk about like there's just not that many comedies, but yeah. So yeah, you can email us at buildingthemovielist@gmail.com. Or get to us on Twitter at Building the List. And yeah, let us know if there's a movie you want us to watch or how you feel about In the Name of the Father. I know there's a lot of hot takes out there waiting to get out.
Hot take.
Actually, they're trying to bust down the door right now.
And yeah, I think that does it for us. Later.